Hey, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulls. I'm joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, and the Hall of Famer himself, Jim Donnan. You are watching us on UGA Sports Live on the Facebook page, Facebook page and the YouTube channel. Please be sure to hit subscribe on that YouTube channel. It means a lot to us. And the reason we push for that all the time, it helps move us up in the suggested columns. And if you're watching or listening to the show, you go to Apple and give us a review, because that also apparently moves us up in the algorithms of suggested content. So
clickbait.
We're trying to suggest move us up, and let's take it to the social media giants and then how they decide who to feature and who not to feature. And that all comes from you folks saying, hey, we like the show or we don't. So a lot to talk about this week. We've got Georgia is heading towards the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Big game, SEC East on the line. Georgia comes off a road victory against Kentucky, a win that apparently made people very unhappy. Apparently winning is not enough anymore. It's how you win. You know, I remember early in the season, a 27-point victory was not good enough. So it is what it is, and I get it, folks. I'm just being facetious because it is indicative of what could happen down the line, and I understand that. But, Coach, really, when I start thinking about this game, I know everybody wants to talk about the quarterback situation, but to me, the injuries that came out of that Kentucky game, that was more concerning. To me, it was more concerning than only scoring 14 points. You know, you had a defense that held a strong team to 3, even though they had a really long drive there, but you're out Jordan Davis, Julian Rochester, Richard LeCount, the number one defense in the nation, banged all the hell, just banged up, and you're missing some guys on offense. How do you see this game playing out in Jacksonville? How do you accommodate all these injuries? You know, give us some hope, Coach. Give us some hope.
Yeah, I got plenty of hope. Just look at the record the last 3 years. Look at the recruiting rankings the last 3 years. Look at the coaching rank, 11-1. That's what Kirby is against Mullen. Regardless of who's playing or who's not playing, I think a real indicator will be if Pickens plays. I mean, I know last week I said he was going to be my mouth-watering guy, and he didn't even make the trip. So it shows you how much I know about what's going on. But without him, we didn't have the threat of the deep ball. And, you know, they ganged up on us, and we still ran the ball, but had 8 possessions and had 2 bad plays by the quarterback. So everybody's going to harp on that. But defensively, losing Davis is going to be hurt us. But I think Jalen Carter can step in there and do the job, probably play White at nose and play Jalen Carter 3 technique and see what happens from there. But in the back end, losing the count, I mean, that's your quarterback of your defense. That's a terrible tragedy that happened to him, being in a motorcycle wreck after the game. And fortunately, I just talked to one of the trainers, and they're going to pick him up today, taking him home from the hospital. So that's good news.
That's great, dude. And,
so I think can Chris Smith continue to play solid? He's always come through for us. Seen missed the whole second half too, so we got to get him back. But you know, the thing you got to always do that Kirby stresses and every coach is, you build depth. You got your chance to play. You know, all these Florida kids are fired up about playing the University of Florida. I'm talking about the ones on our roster, and still a lot out there from the standpoint of goals for this team, and you can't worry about anything. But this week, I like our kicking game. I like the way Cook's coming on strong. White's getting confidence. Our O-line looks good to me, and our passing game will be okay as long as we stay ahead of the sticks. You know, we don't need to be a drop-back team. We need to roll out. We need to throw the tight end a little more, but defensively, they're not very good. I mean, you can't put lipstick on a pig there. They rank really low in the conference. Everybody's moved the ball on them, although last week they were a little better on getting teams 3 and out, which has been a nemesis for them for a long time. But I'm a half full guy. I feel good about our team, and I feel like I'm not just being a company man when I say I do, but I like our roster. I know who we got behind some of these guys that hadn't had a chance. So, but the big key for us is our passing game has got to evolve with somebody beside Kyaris Jackson. We know that Pickens is going to, if he's ready, he'll do it. But who else is going to step up? Who's going to run the right route? who's going to drop the ball, who's going to catch it. To me, that's about as critical as anything we got going into this game, even though injuries are a factor. But I still think we got enough people to make up for the ones we're losing.
Yeah, Dane, Coach brings up a good point, and you and I were with him when we were watching doing the watch-along. And folks, be sure to tune into the watch-along show this Saturday about 3:30. I won't be there, but Dane and Coach John will be there, and Brent Rollins has agreed to actually come in, take my place, actually give you some good information so you're not just watching me drink Bud Light seltzers. So there will actually be a reason to tune in.
Oh, whoa, whoa, where are you going? What is that about?
I will be in Jacksonville for the game.
Oh, wow. That must be nice. For the game.
I am for the game. I'm Jacksonville Bulldog Club, the best Bulldog Club out there. So I'm going down there to talk to them. So
they give you a credential?
We did get a credential. I'll be inside the stadium. So
oh, nice, nice.
But I don't
think you were just hanging out on the beach.
That's the reason I wanted to go, because we don't have enough photos of, like, you know, looking for a picture of Chris Smith. Don't have one. You know, hey, where's the picture of Major Burns? Don't have one of those either. You know, there's a lot of guys who could be playing in this game that we'd like to write features on, and trying to find some of the art form is a little tough. But Dana, we saw some of the situations, not just last game, but the game before. Everyone puts a lot of this on Stetson Bennett. Yeah, and he's made some dumb mistakes. He's made some bad mistakes, and he's played some bad quarterback. But he also has had some good games. You know, he's played really well. But I think back to some of his success, what the coach said is, who is that second? You know, who's that wide receiver that's going to step up? You see a ball go off Burns' hands. You see him try to catch one-handed over the – going on a slant route. The receivers haven't really been doing him a lot of favors. And we're watching teams, you know, they bracket and take away George Pickens, and then all of a sudden everyone goes to Kyaris Jackson. But it seems to me like once you get past that, you know, my point is, I really think this team is a completely different looking team. If Dom Blaylock's still in the game and you have Pickens, Blaylock, Robertson, and Jackson, whereas right now Pickens was out. Pickens is still kind of beat up. Everyone knows that Kyaris is number two guy. They start bracketing him, and now you're trying to rely on Burton and Rosemary Jack Saint, and I just don't know that that is a successful formula, even against a defense that's not that good. Your thoughts, Dane?
Yeah, I think the frustration that you're hearing from Georgia fans, it goes beyond this season, which is a quirky year in itself. I think we can all agree with that. It feels like, I think, that Georgia's passing attack has not been feared by opposing defenses or fans, for that matter, for going on 2 years.
It depends on how you consider the fear around the fans.
Right.
They do fear the passing attack, but maybe not in the way you would like.
Well, Georgia fans fear the passing attack. The opponent's fans don't.
We want to have a Kentucky passing game.
Yeah, right. Right. So, like, there's a spectrum of this here. And so I think what fans are saying, all right, well, this goes beyond quarterbacks because Stetson Bennett, Jake Fromm, this goes beyond a set of receivers because some of that has changed. What I would tell Georgia fans is that, you know, I think Georgia's got a couple weapons on this team, though young and slightly inexperienced in some cases, that Georgia has not had before in previous years. I think you're going to see Darnell Washington continue to emerge as a mismatch. I think James Cook has proven that he is a massive threat from the backfield that really we haven't seen from Georgia running backs in quite a while. So while it may not be the traditional receivers, you know, I think the passing game is different. Coach mentioned George Pickens. Look, Georgia's offense is completely different when Pickens is not on the field. He commands so much attention from the defense, and there's probably some things that would have been open against Kentucky that were not open because George Pickens was not there.
That's a great point. Jake, I got to go to you because we're talking about all these guys that have to step up, you know. And when you start getting into the depth chart past the number one in, like, the media backups, fans, journalists tend to get a little lost. Who can Georgia put out there to kind of spell, you know, let's say Lewisine comes back, but he's still a little banged up. Everyone knows, okay, well, Chris Smith comes in, but then who comes in after that? You know, what is the deal with the, you know, are we going to see a Major Burns? Will we see Tariq Stevenson drop back and play? Because apparently Kirby Smart said Tariq Stevenson should be fine. Does he drop back to safety? Who works in that interior of the defensive line? I don't know that Jordan Davis being out. I mean, it's big to lose Jordan Davis, but against this type of offense, I don't. think is bigger to lose him last week against Kentucky, that is such a strong running team, versus a team like Florida who can, you know, throwing it out there to Tony in space. I don't know that having Jordan Davis on the field makes that big a difference. But, again, you still need to take away that running game. So who are some of the guys that we haven't spoken about who will step in on the defense that fans may not be that familiar with, but, you know, you covered their recruitments and you can tell us about them.
You know, I think if you're looking in that defensive backfield and you're talking about, you know, who comes in after Chris Smith and Lewis, I think that, you know, you mentioned Tyreek right off the bat. I think that you see some combination with him and Mark Webb kind of moving around back there and being available in those facets, because those guys are talented enough to play that star position, which is about as tough of a position as there is in that secondary. So they're capable of playing in those safety positions. I think as well, you know, you possibly even look at some of these guys that maybe you haven't heard a lot out of in a while. Yeah. How does a guy like William Poole factor in maybe as a star guy? And then that frees up maybe a guy like Webb to maybe roll into that safety position as well. I agree though on Chris Smith. I think that, you know, we were talking about it earlier in our group chat at work. I think that it's, you know, this is a situation where I don't see a big fall off personally. I know Richard and what he means to this team and what he brings to this team is immense. There's no question about it. You know that those guys are going to want to play their hearts out for Richard this week. But I do think that in the spot duty, you saw Chris Smith play against Auburn. He looked really good. I really liked what I saw from him. I think he's a guy who's hungry for the opportunity. He's been waiting a long time to get the chance to show that, you know, he made a good decision to stick around and be a part of this program, because he could be somewhere else playing. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I think that he's a kid who can step up to this and be ready to go for Georgia. Now, on the defensive line, that's going to be an interesting situation. Coach mentioned Jalen Carter. I think everybody looking that way. Devontae Wyatt, of course, I think. Don't write off Tramell Walthour. I thought that he played well in relief of those guys last week as well when his number was called. You know, you can bounce around some of these other guys too. Maybe a guy like Nazir Stackhouse, who you saw a little bit at the end of the game last week. Kirby said Nazir's practicing well, and he looks like a guy who may be ready to contribute. You know, this is not an ideal situation to be throwing out, you know, the fresh meat to the Gators. I mean, I understand that, but the fact of the matter is, it is the next man up mentality at Georgia. It's not about rebuilding anymore. It's about restocking. They've got depth at every single position, especially in that on that defense. I don't think there's a huge concern about, you know, being able to fill those gaps. You've lost a critical player in Jordan Davis for this week. I think, you know, there's no getting around that. That guy's a high round NFL draft pick. There just aren't a lot of guys like that in any league or any team. But the guys that are behind him, I don't think that it's a fall off of, you know, 10-15%. I mean, it's a small downgrade in my opinion.
Hey, Coach, I have a question for you real fast.
Go back to 2017. When 2018, when we played LSU, when we first started hearing about Jordan Davis from the scout team and he came in there and made some plays, we never even talked about him. It's like the seventh game of the year. Same thing's true with Stackhouse. I mean, he's had good fall camp. He's learning what to do. He's not necessarily where Jordan Davis was just because of the size, but the guy can really run. He'd be good in space in a game like this. He ran a 100-meter dash in high school, and he'll be jumping around all around the field. So he'll be a lot like Trayvon Walker, you know, from, you know, a good basketball player that can run. So, you know, sometimes you get a lemon, you got to make lemonade out of it. But these guys are athletic enough to help our defense. Pass rush is going to be premium in this game. You got to get vertical pass rush and get in trash face. The thing that we had with Davis, he stuffed that center for 2 years. He knocked that center around for Florida. He's probably the happiest. If he's the same guy they've had for 2 years, he was the happiest guy out there to find out Davis wasn't playing.
Yeah, another guy to mention real quick, Warren Brinson, who has been on some of these travel squads. Another young guy, another freshman, a part of this class. But, you know, you're talking about two. I mean, we just brought up three freshmen, Jalen Carter, Warren Brinson, and Nazir Stackhouse. Those are true freshman guys that you feel like may be able to contribute in the cocktail party this week. That's really telling not only for their skill level, but that's a good sign for the future as well.
We also have Zion Logue and the
Tymon Mitchell.
Bill
Norton.
Norton, yeah, the Tennessee trio who could step
yep.
in.
Yep.
And I don't know that it'll happen, but to me, a great storyline would be all of a sudden you see a mere speed in there. You know, because Coach talking about some of the Florida guys that want to play against, you know, the University of Florida. Well, that surprised me to see a mere speed step up there.
Speed more of a corner, though. He's not a safety. He could come in there and help him maybe fill in special teams like he's been doing, but you'd see Breeny maybe back there before he would speed.
Well, where's DJ Daniel? I mean, I know he's a corner, but it would be nice to see him out there in some of these. You know, if I'm trying to put somebody on, maybe.
Well, jump, you know, I'd like put to Daniels. Him. You could put Daniels in and maybe at star and move Webb or the other guy back there. We're going to have to play some dime on these guys. We're going to have to play 60.
That's why I'm trying to find defensive backs by the score.
Yeah, we got enough defensive backs. So just got to tackle in space. You know, Tony leads the conference in missed tackles, people missing him. I saw the stat from Brent Rollins. You know, he's unbelievable on the amount of more than anybody in the conference, even more than Waddle. So you got to tackle him in space. And we've only missed 8% tackles all year. So that's going to be a real key in this game. How do we tackle and can we get Tony on the ground? Not to mention covering Pitts, which will be another situation. But we did a good job on Pitts last year overall.
And I tell you, there's a guy on Georgia's team that knows Kyle Pitts really well, and that's Mark Webb. They played against each other in high school. I mean, this is a situation where those guys are pretty familiar with each other, and it goes back several years. So I don't discount that as necessarily a downside for Georgia, for sure.
Someone in the YouTube chat asked about Notori Johnson if he's playing defensive line. Notori stepped away from the team for this semester, is my understanding.
Yeah, he's not out there right now.
And you had a question you want to ask Coach Dunham?
Yeah, so this was someone mentioned this play in the chat, and I wanted to ask Coach about it. So Stetson Bennett's second interception against Kentucky after the game, this is the one that was intended for Marcus Rosemy Jackson. After the game, Kirby Smart said that was an underthrown ball attempted to throw out of bounds. And can you kind of explain that to me, how that case? Because I look at that, and you know football way better than me. I look at that and say, well, if he's trying to throw out of bounds, isn't there way more room on the front end of that to throw out of bounds? Is it a late decision?
I don't know if that was exactly what Kirby meant to say. I haven't asked him, but to me, watching the live and watching the replay and then watching it again, he did a double clutch there where he looked like he thought the receiver was going to make a move, and then he decided he was, and then Rosemy just kind of slowed down. So it looked to me like it was an overthrown fade route that Rosemy stopped on. But if he was throwing it out of bounds, then it was underthrown because he didn't throw it wide enough out of bounds. So both of them said he's trying to throw it out of bounds. So it was definitely poor. And then the first one was where they got vertical pressure on Jamari, but Jamari thought the guy was going to throw it a little bit sooner. Any way you look at it, I'm sure Kirby, Monk, and all of them would like to have that call back. You don't throw a wheel route to a back out of the backfield on second one on a 10-yard line with a minute 19 to go unless you're just really hunky-dory and things are going smooth as a baby's ass, and they weren't in that game. And, you know, we've all made bad calls. I made so many of them, I can remember most of them, but you know, it's in the hundreds of thousands probably, but here's one thing to always remember. If you've got a chance to get a first down inside the 10 on second and one or two, always get it. That gives you four plays to run. We had two timeouts left. If you got a chance to get one from the 6-yard line, always run it, because you've now got four more downs to run it. So waste downs, you got to really think about. Second one on the 11, second one on the 6, run the ball.
You talk about making bad decisions. We've all made them. I mean, I hired Jake of all people, so you know. no one can be flawless. But if you want to make a really good decision, meet up with our friends over at Masada Leather and Gifts, because Urban over there is now making masks, okay? But he's doing it not to try to sell them and stuff like that. You can help him out. Okay. So he is looking for anybody who can help him with a certain fabrics that he's looking for, because he and this group over there at Masada Leather and Gifts are donating these masks to caregivers, religious leaders, medical folks in the Athens community. He's looking for very specific types of cloth, And, you know, they make all their – they do all these handcrafted gifts. They have the belts, the bags, you know, the customized sandals, all these fantastic gifts you can get for the holidays. We are in November. It's time for you to start shopping. Be sure to swing by Masada Leather and Gifts, you know, get the pin bag or the messenger bag, belts, or any of that stuff. Lifetime warranty on all of it. All of it's handmade. The people you get these items for will love you for them. But also, if you have, like, some of the fabrics that they're looking for, just go to the Masada Leather and Gift website. Check it out. You can see where you could help out Irvin and his group with the Masada Leather and Gifts create masks for the caregivers and medical personnel in our community. You can help them out very much. Also, a really good decision where you can't go wrong and won't make a dumb decision like bringing Dane on to do videos and stuff like that. You want to make a good decision, swing by our friends at Athens Ford. You can't mess up on that. If you go to their website, you're going to get a $250 off coupon. Any vehicle you buy is going to have a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. If you need to trade in your vehicle, they're going to give you top dollar for it. If you need somebody to walk around the car, if you stay at home, they'll put it on FaceTime or whatever and walk around and show you the ins and outs. You can have them open the glove compartment, open the trunk, you know, say, look, pop the hood, let me look at it. Let's look at the gauge on the depth of the tires. You can check out all that stuff. They'll walk you around. Want financing, they have ridiculous financing deals. You can get financed there, you know, or you can do it through your bank, whichever way you want. But I tell you, the Athens Ford Finance folks are fantastic. So again, it's impossible to make a bad decision out there unless you're, you know, getting your service done and you decide to get, you know, Coke Zero over Diet Coke or something like that, you know, in the free Coke machine. Then you can make a bad decision. But again, it's not a debilitating one. It's not one that you wish you could do over and over again, because, you know, you can always pour it out and get the correct Diet Coke product. So point being, check out our friends at Athens Ford. They're doing gangbuster sales up there. Ford trucks are flying off, especially if you want a Super Duty, you got to get in early. So, and if you want those Broncos, same thing. You got to get in early over there. And they do a lot for the Athens community. I guarantee you, the next time we talk about them, we will be able to tell you their latest charity. They do a charity drive every holiday, you know, either it's bikes or toys or something like that for every vehicle you buy. So check out our friends at Athens Ford. Jake, I know we've got a lot of questions, and the great thing is we have Coach Don on here to give us a lot of answers. So why don't you hit us up with one?
I've got a real good one from the chat, if I can start it. It's a history one for a coach.
Go for it.
1997, Georgia-Florida upset. Can you tell any good stories from that game?
Well, you know, certainly you got the monkey off our back. That's the best thing. But overall, it was just really kind of set our program on the map again, you know, to go down there and beat 20-point underdog and win as decisively as we did. I guess the one thing, you know, Mike Bobo had a really tough first half, a few turnovers, and I finally asked him, I said, hey, Mike, you think we need to make a move here? I said, you think? Because I was going to give him, I said, because we got a chance to win this game if you start playing like you can. He said, I'm gonna get it going, Coach. I'm going to get it going. And certainly he did, and Robert had a great second half. And the biggest thing was our tackles, Chris Terry and Stinchcomb, were able to snatch their ends where we could take the ball outside against to the split inside, because you just usually can't do that. It's hard to can snatch a guy that's on your outside shoulder. But throughout the whole second half, we were able to do that. And Corey Allen made a couple big catches there on post route. And it was our defense intercepted. Some guys coaching here now got an interception in that game. And Champ Bailey, everybody. It was just – and then after the game was just about as much fun as I've ever had, because got interviewed by Michelle Tafoya, and I told her I was glad. She told me before the game, said, look, if this game's a runaway, we're probably going to move to another game. And I said, I can understand that. I said, but if it's not, you better interview me after the game. So after the game, she got me, and I said, well, I'm glad we were able to keep all your people there. And Sean McDonough was doing the game, and Terry Donahue was doing the color, and it was a fun win for Georgia.
That doesn't sound like you remember much about it.
I remember those things. I remember 99 too, and 2000. I remember 2000 when we threw that pick to Shepherd right at the end of the first half. It was ridiculous, and put them back in the game.
How often do you relive the good and bad decisions? I don't want any that amount of responsibility. I really don't.
Well, I remember a lot of things, but the one I remember the most is Georgia Tech. I mean, how can you ever forget that one? So,
well, especially when they come up to after you and go, "Hey, we blew it," you know.
Yeah, right. Well, let's don't talk about it. We talked about this game this week, and I don't think you can poo-poo or underplay the dominance that Kirby Smart's had over Mullen. I mean, he's in his head. When you start the game out and have two delay of game penalties or have to call a timeout because your players got the wrong wristbands on, I mean, something's wrong. And, you know, they're coming off a deal last week where Mullen embarrassed himself going out on the field like he did. You got to have better control in that. So I think people.
What did you make of all that, Coach? I mean, you have he runs up there, says he's trying to talk to the officials, but he's obviously running out to yell at a player on the opposing side. Then he yells at the official. Then he tries to pump up the crowd. Then the interview in the Darth Vader mask.
I tell you what, I can't understand. If you get $25,000 fine for doing that, but you get $100,000 for not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You realize that we've had four teams, coaches get fined $100,000 for not wearing masks, but
that's insane.
$25,000.
$25,000 a year.
Well, and $25,000 was the amount that Lane Kiffin got fined for a retweet. So
we got to get a grasp on our officials' situation in this league. I mean, too many blown calls, too many things like this. I mean, I feel good about our commissioner, but he's got to rally the troops here. I mean, you know, hey, we got to get a little bit better standard of compliance here.
And to your point, Coach, I mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again. I hate to be the guy that's constantly complaining about officiating because it looks weak. You know, it's like if you go into the game knowing that you have to beat the other team plus the officials, and you do it. You don't give an excuse. And I try to tell people it's not an excuse, it's a reason. You know, if you look at some of the very nice calls that Auburn and Alabama have been recipients of, and Georgia, granted, we in the watch-along, we mentioned a couple plays where Georgia should have been flagged, but they were not. Every team gets them. And every team seems to have them go against them, but it's the Georgia-Florida series where I've been on the sidelines since 93 in that range, where I've seen the most blown calls, not between Georgia and Alabama, not between Georgia and Auburn, not between and on the Egg Bowl or anything like that. The most blown calls I've ever seen have always been in Everbank Stadium, you know, down there in Jacksonville. And I just
so, Roddy, what are we going to do about it? Nothing you can do about it.
The damn thing you can do about it, but I'm putting a pin in it.
What do we want to do?
Next Tuesday, we're going to be freaking out over the fact that there was a blown call that either almost cost the game or did cost the game. I'm just telling you because the fact that you can count on it is ridiculous about the fact that they haven't addressed it.
What can we do? What's the answer?
To me, I would have professional – full-time ref, have them go from football to baseball, help summer leagues, you know, some practices on, then come back, do football in the fall, basketball, like that is your job. I don't need Greg the accountant who dabbles in officiating on the side. That's just my thing.
I'd be great. I'd be for that.
And you've got the money to do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. When you're giving Vanderbilt and some of these other schools $46 million a year, for being a member of the SEC. Come on.
It's not gonna happen.
I know, but I'm just saying it's the only thing I can come up with, Coach, because it's just mind-boggling that you have such a good product, but you're turning people away from the product because they absolutely hate the officiating.
Yep. All right, I've got a question for all of you, and this one not from the board, but just one that I've been thinking about myself. It feels that to me, and I'm interested if you guys feel the same, that this is a very important game for Kirby Smart's legacy, not just Georgia this year, but given all the criticism I think that he's faced for the last couple of weeks for the quarterback play, just everything that's going into it, you know, the lead up to this, the press conferences where he says, yeah, there are no changes going to be made. You know, there's been a lot of talk on the dog vent. People say, you know, this guy's really stubborn. You know, is this a situation where, you know, a bad game here puts a pretty bad taste in Georgia fans' mouths moving forward, because I think that the dominance over Florida has been a huge, huge key to Kirby's success and endeared him to the fan base.
Well, you know, I'll start out on that. What else could he do on a quarterback? Seriously, maybe put Dwan in there or Daniels in there last week, or, you know, maybe do that. But everybody gave him kudos for bringing in the first guy, and the guy leaves, and then he brings Daniels in on top of him. He wasn't ready to play. So, hey, you can go back over fields and all that, but didn't work out. But he's not the first quarterback that didn't work out for a program or any program, but certainly guys 36 touchdowns to one interception ratio looks pretty bad for us not playing for us. But boy, you look at everything Kirby's done for this program, building facilities, dominating the East, getting to the national championship game. Certainly the ledger on that side is a whole lot better than this one game to me. I think, to me, it'll be a big upset if Florida beats us. You can say all you want to about what we don't have, but I know what we have. And I know that we saw Bennett play good enough to beat Auburn. We saw Auburn dominate LSU. He torched Auburn's secondary. LSU couldn't do anything throwing the ball on him. I mean, he torched them. You look at the guys he threw touchdown passes. He threw the ball to Jarris Jackson. He did all kind of things, and they're saying Auburn had the best secondary in the league. So let's don't forget about that. Now, he's made some bad mistakes and some bad decisions, but everybody does that. But and then the last thing I'd say, everybody's mad about we didn't throw the ball enough last week. Then last week we're talking about we didn't run the ball enough against Alabama. So we're 4-1. We're ranked number 5 in the country, and I'm not a house organ or anything, but I feel good about our team. And if I didn't, I would tell you. I worry a little bit about some of the guys that aren't playing. I don't worry as much about Davis and not playing as I do. We need Pickens bad. Pickens needs to show up and show them his taillights. If we can get some explosive plays out of him, we'll get after their ass pretty good.
It can't be overstated how devastating the Jamie Newman opt-out was for Georgia's offense, period. And you could say that for any team in the country, Clemson, Alabama. I mean, you kind of saw that with Clemson a bit, right, where DJ Uiagalelei has to start because Trevor Lawrence has COVID, and Clemson was sputtering there for 3 quarters. And if Mac Jones is not the starter for Alabama, Bryce Young's a hell of a talent. Kid's not ready yet for that spotlight. And so – when Newman opts out, Georgia was left in a world of hurt. And I think any team would have that situation. Now, that said, you compound the injuries that Georgia has right now, and it feels like the most adversity that Georgia has faced under Kirby Smart. So to your point, Jake, if Georgia loses to Florida and thereby essentially loses the East, unless some circumstances really change, that's a step back from the standard that Kirby Smart has set, which is quite a high standard. So is that something to be ashamed of? Not necessarily, I don't think, but that does kind of underscore the importance of this game.
Roddy, legacy game in your mind?
This is legacy game, but to me it comes down to, do you believe in Kirby Smart? Do you believe every hero has a fatal flaw? If you go back to literature, you know, everyone has their Achilles heel. And everyone's been looking for Kirby's. They know that he can't be out-recruited. You know, he's shown that when it comes to preparation, his guys are usually prepared for every scenario. They do so much scenario work. You know, hey, it's 3rd and 8 with 19 seconds left on the clock. Here's the two plays. Here are the two play options we're going to have. You're down by 4. You have the ball in your 45. Run the guys out there. Tell them here's the 3 different plays we'll run from this formation in this situation. He works that stuff. They have plans for what to wear in your second set of clothing when you go on the away games to a state that starts with M. You know, they take every little detail, and people believe in that stuff. And we share that stuff. We share the stuff that they do when they go out to eat, when they go watch movies, when they go to hotels. We share a lot of that insider stuff at UJSports.com that you can't get anywhere else. And the fans love it. But then when it comes down to Kirby trying to take all that information and make a decision, you know, all this practice and stuff, all of a sudden Kirby doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So to me, this game kind of comes down to do you believe in Kirby Smart? Let's look at the quarterback situation. Three major decisions affected why Stetson Bennett is out there. One, Jake Fromm decides to leave early. Jake Fromm could still be here. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to be in the NFL. He could still be your quarterback at Georgia. He's gone. Even prior to that, you had Justin Fields decide to leave. But I don't even count that as one of the three. So what does Kirby do when he loses his quarterback? He goes out and gets two more top quarterbacks to come to Georgia. One of them, Jamie Newman, is your guy. That's who everyone's expecting. Jamie Newman decides to opt out. Again, something Kirby couldn't control. He couldn't control Fromm leaving. He couldn't control Jamie Newman deciding to opt out. He also couldn't control his other quarterback that he brought in getting ready and doing all the rehab he needed to do. When you have JT Daniels show up and JT's not ready, you know, but he's actually behind in his rehab where Dominic Blaylock was. Dominic Blaylock got injured much later than JT Daniels did, but Blaylock was further ahead in his rehab. If you had a situation where JT Daniels was as far along as Dominic Blaylock, maybe he's playing. But again, that's not something Kirby controlled. When he showed up, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready for the beginning of the season. So that leaves Kirby with Stetson Bennett, who was your number two all last year. That leaves him with Juan Mathis, who, again, he's taken from Ohio State in the last second, but then he gets a brain cyst as a guy who's put behind. Again, not something Kirby can control, but that's your number two guy. And then you have a beat up JT Daniels and a Carson Beck, who's a true freshman. Kirby has to make a decision out of those four guys. You know, he goes with Juan Mathis. Mathis looks good out there for a couple plays, and then all of a sudden starts making some bad decisions, bad throws. He pulls in, brings in the number two guy, who was all number two all last year, and they win that game. Then they win the next game, and the next game, and the first half of the fourth game. Then the second half happens. And then last week, when you're pretty much going to run the ball, you make two bad decisions. So again, I'm not trying to defend Stetson Bennett. I'm trying to point out the folks that say, Kirby's handled this quarterback situation really bad. Look what happened with Justin Fields. There's a lot of this crap that is out of Kirby's control. And what he's needed to do is to bring in other options. He did that. They didn't work out. Again, not for stuff that he could have foreseen. I'm not trying to, me and Kirby, we're not buddies. We're not friends. I like him. I respect him. But I realize he's in a bad situation where he's getting blamed for stuff that's out of his control. So if they lose to Florida, yeah, it's going to hurt his legacy. But at the same time, damn, who expected to lose Jordan Davis, Julian Rochester, and Richard LeCounts in a game to Kentucky?
Georgia's lost.
But no one remembers that. They just go, well, Justin Fields could be here. Kirby sucks. And that pisses me off because it's not fair. I defended James Coley for stuff that wasn't his fault. Who is the other one?
Schottenheimer,
for stuff that wasn't his fault. I also blamed him for a lot. But there was stuff that was beyond their control. Let's assign to the coaches their mistakes, not cover up their mistakes. But at the same time, let's not blame stuff that they have no control over.
To Coach's point, though, Kirby Smart lost three SEC East games in his first year at Georgia. Do you know how many SEC East games Kirby Smart has lost since then?
One.
And it's not to Florida.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, you had three interceptions from a guy who was a little bit taller.
I'm just saying the record is there to say that despite some of the obstacles that are in the way of Georgia right now and some of the adversity that Georgia is facing, Georgia's proven it's the powerhouse in the East. And so, you know, you got to beat the champ to be the champ, right? That's what Ric Flair said.
And if you lose this one, I'm not trying to say that they will. There's a reason they came out favored against in Vegas. But as Jake was just mentioned, look at all these bloody freshmen that are out there. They're doing amazing things. Remember, three of Georgia's five stars have not really stepped on the field. Your two offensive tackles, two tackles that any other team would kill for, you know, two five-star guys, they're not playing right now. The number one cornerback in the nation, Keely Ringo, he's not out there right now. There's a lot of talent waiting to get on the field. So it's you're in a good situation, but you've had some very, very bad luck this year.
Yeah, plus you got to remember we lost eight guys off our team last year on NFL rosters on our offensive unit.
Yeah.
You watched our left tackle last night. You see Thomas blocking those guys for the Bucks. I mean, come on, number one rushing defense in the
game. What are we talking about for the last 3 years? How Solomon Kinley plays like a madman in Jacksonville. Would you like to have Solomon Kinley in his senior season playing in Jacksonville? You talk about owning people. there's nobody that's been able to go one-on-one with Saul McKinley in Jacksonville Stadium. It's just never happened. And,
I feel like our O-line's getting better. I feel like White's getting better. Cook's coming on. To me, I feel good about where offense is developing. Some of the areas that were concerning to me, now we can maybe do a few more RPOs and do a few more bootlegs and things like that to help Stetson out. But it gets back to Pickens to me. If he's got one-on-one out there, I guarantee the guy can go back and launch it and throw it over the guy's head and he can go get it. He can do that all day if they decide to try to play him like that.
Hey, Roddy, to your point about Jacksonville, though, I do feel – I mean, football is inconsequential in the week that he's had, but I feel bad for Richard LeCount being from Liberty County and missing this last Georgia-Florida game, because that's the game for people from down there. That's it. That's the coup de grace.
Yeah, but, you know, you feel bad for him, but you feel thankful that he's alive.
Really. Yeah, sure.
It's really – people have no idea, which we can't talk on – the show about it wouldn't be fair to how serious that collision was. You know, when you're on a motorbike and you need to get hit by not one car, but you hit two cars on a motorbike, both of them going in different directions. I mean, very fortunate he's out of the hospital today. That happened on Saturday, and this is Tuesday.
I mean, look at how bad Tommy Bush was wrecked, that poor kid. And, you know, our prayers go out to Tommy and his recovery. We wish him Godspeed, and we do the same for Richard LeCount. I know that Jake and Richard are very close, covered him extensively, know him. Well, Richard LeCount is friends with everybody. He's just that well beloved. He's one of the most beloved kids to come through the University of Georgia in a long time.
He was the first kid to commit to Kirby Smart.
Yeah, talk about legacy. And remember, where was he going, Jake?
He was going to Alabama to go with Kirby Smart.
I'm just saying. So you're talking about legacy, you're talking about guys that believe in it. And trust me, the team understands how big this game is. There have been talk amongst the players on the team. I'm not saying, you know, meetings and stuff like that. But trust me, the word I'm getting from inside is some of the other seniors have stepped up and spoken to the guys and explained to them how important this game is. So there won't be any honing it in or, you know, just going through the motions this week. They're going to be focused on it. At least, and Kirby always talks about leadership. Well, his leadership is stepping up at this point. If they could win one for Richard, I guarantee you they will.
All right, Coach, I wanted to play off of something you said there just a second ago, which was that you felt like the offensive line was improving, and then you talked about Zamir White. I don't think that career-high game could have come at a better time than right ahead of the cocktail party. But we've got a good question here from Kay Leland about the game. He says, the winner of this game is usually the team that rushes for more yards. Do you expect that to still be the case, given how much Florida likes to throw the ball now?
You never know that in today's society, two or three, four or five years ago, maybe that would be the case. But teams now, I mean, most of their runs are bubble screens and things like that behind the line, jet sweeps. They don't run a lot of inside runs. So they could get some rushing yards off of those kind of – or they run a guy in motion and flip the ball up in the air, and that's a pass. But I feel like we got a decided edge there running the ball. On pure runs, they got a passing attack that's definitely been a lot more successful than ours. But I give the edge really in this game to our defense, though. I mean, you know, their defense is not anywhere near what it's been. And they've had a lot of trouble defending the pass. That's why I said Pickens is going to be very important. So as much as I want to see us run the ball, I think we can throw it on these guys. I know we can. We got to throw it on them, because if you're Grantham, you're going to try to load up to stop our run and make us prove you can throw it.
How important do you think that Georgia's rushing attack is in terms of being able to play ball control against these guys and keep the ball out of Kyle Trask's hands?
Yeah, if you can limit that, that's great. I mean, last year we had an unbelievable third down percentage, but – for some reason, a lot of teams do that against Florida. I don't know what it is, but we kept them off the field, and they were playing from behind the whole game, you know, and then they made a good furious comeback there at the end. But very good on third down. A lot of good catches by Wolf, by Cager. We saw what Cager did as an X receiver last year on the weak side. I think Pickens can do the same thing against their loaded up coverages. So definitely a mismatch there. They don't have those pro corners that they had. They've certainly got the one kid that Elam, who's really good, but nothing like they've had overall in the secondary. Do you think, Jake?
No, I completely agree with that. I think that Kyer Elam is a fantastic player, but the level of play definitely falls off from what they've had in previous years in this game, sure.
Yeah, don't, I think all of us, to me, the one point that I had written down that now we've been on the show for 45 minutes and I hadn't even said it is, number one, let's don't give Florida too much credit for being Florida because of what we know about Florida in the past, okay? This is not as good a Florida team as they were last year overall to me. Maybe a little better offensively, but a decided drop-off defensively. And let's don't bail out on Georgia right now saying that we're not as good as we need to be. I think we're better than people think we are nationally, locally, everything else. And maybe you prove me wrong next week, but I feel good about where we're headed offensively if we can just eliminate the mistakes. We didn't have the penalties last week on offense. We had the two turnovers, but we had 8 possessions and we only punted twice. Can't mess up the field goals like we did, though. You got to have a good snap, man. That was terrible.
I agree wholeheartedly. I tell you, you want to give people too much credit versus not enough. There's one place you can always give the exact right amount of credit because they never screw up, and that's our friends at Urbi. When we had the watch along last week, the watch along show, we got their tailgate pack, which consisted of 2 pepperoni pizzas, 2 cheese pizzas, and 2 of their lineage pizzas, an order of breadsticks, and like 10 bags of chips. There's going to be 2 orders of breadsticks. It was $49. Can't beat it. We had enough food for Donna and myself, Dane, everybody else in the house, food to take home. So if you've got a big group of folks that you're going to watch the cocktail party with, be sure to call our friends at Your Pie. They also have paninis, gelato, pastas, all sorts of great things. You can get salads out there, tons and tons of locations. And if you order on Tuesdays, which you need to do, always order on Tuesdays, when you use the app, you get double the points. And those points added up, I think right now I'm going to do like 3 or 4 free pizzas because everything I've done has been on the app. The numbers just, the points just keep accumulating over and over. You can send people a reference and that gets you free stuff as well. So be sure to check out our friends at Your Pie. Drew and Natalie French, giant, giant Georgia fans. I know that they will, they're not in attendance. They will have their eyes glued to the game because, you know, when they started this whole thing, you know, graduates of UGA, big, big Georgia fans. So every time you are checking out any of the franchises at Your Pie, you are helping support the people who support the team. Also, talk about somebody who does a great job, our friends at Academia. If you want to go out to Academia Brewing Company, watch the game this Saturday at 3:30, you'll see it on the giant big screens out there. They have a beer garden. They have new beers popping up all the time. And some of your favorites. I know Jake will be excited about this. The other day, they decided to brew a second batch of the Hazy Double IPA, the 2XIQ. You know, their IQ IPA is a big hit. This is a double version of that, this double IPA. They have that on tap out there. They just canned up their Skull beer, which is great, perfect for this time of year. So you're going to be able to go out to Academia, get fantastic food, and get a bunch of new beer out there, new beers that they have created, plus some of your favorites. And this past Saturday, if you went out there, excuse me, this past Sunday, if you went out there, there were 100 classic cars. They had a huge classic car show out there. My father-in-law went out there and checked them all out. It was amazing. Some of the great cars, plus the Academia buses out there. So you get a chance, swing by Academia to watch the game this Saturday, 3:30. Check it out and actually enjoy your day as George takes on Florida.
All right, I'm going to talk about what I do now, which is recruiting. Since there were a couple of big commits, since there were a couple of big commits last week, last Friday, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins out of Gaffney, South Carolina, 4-star defensive end, 6'6", 305-pound guy. Just an absolute freak. If you haven't, I posted a picture of him over on the vault at UGA Sports from when we went to go see him about 3 weeks ago. This kid is carrying 295, 300 about as well as you could absolutely hope. Not a lot of bad weight on that young man. I really like that pickup for Georgia. This was a guy that they pushed for a long time. Obviously, South Carolina was a big factor throughout. They've done a great job keeping their defensive linemen in state. Tennessee felt really good about this one at one point. But Ingram Dawkins said, and I think it's a huge testament to Georgia, he said it was clear from the get-go that they wanted me the most. They showed the most love, and they felt the best about me. Coach, have you had a chance to check out some tape on Tyrion?
I mean, very good player, no question about it. I tell you what's amazing is Clemson not in the picture there. I mean, 50 miles from there, and they usually get so many of these defensive linemen, but I guess with the ones they got playing, they got Murphy and Breezy playing now. I mean, did you see Breezy the other day? Good Lord. What a player. But I'm just glad that we got the kid. And Richard Seymour-looking type kid, that's for sure. He's that kind of – I don't know if he can move like Richard, but definitely good to get another South Carolina D lineman in the fold here.
Yeah, he does. I will say I'm not willing to go that far either and say that he's moving like Richard Seymour just yet, but he does do some great work on the hardwood. He's a really good basketball player, can really throw it down. And his coaches, I thought, really – I spoke to his defensive coordinator and defensive line coach, Coach Birch, said what I thought was just a very telling and very interesting thing. He said this kid has gotten faster and quicker over the last 50 pounds he's put on. He said, you know, that's what's even scarier about this guy. So just a raw piece. I think, you know, he's a good player now, but has the body and the makeup, I think, to really be a special player in his time in Athens. And then Sunday, you pick up a guy who's just outside of the top, out of the five-star conversation on Rivals.com. That's Deion Bouie out of Bainbridge, Georgia, Kirby Smart's old stomping grounds. A kid that I wrote up in my listen, he blew out an ACL, and that's always a concern, right? How does a guy bounce back from that? But if you go back and watch the film from last year, I made the comparison. I think this is a guy who looks a lot on film to me like Mecole Hardman did. He's maybe a step slower. He's a step slower, maybe. Nobody's as fast.
Well, everybody.
Nobody's as fast as Mecole.
Aren't we all?
But he's that kind of versatile player on his high school squad. Super quick guy. Looks like to me that he could be in that return game right off the bat. I don't see any reason not to get him some reps there early on in his career. Georgia likes him as a secondary player, cornerback. I know there's some consideration possibly as wide receiver. Maybe he fits the athlete bill very, very well. So huge pickup in 2022. That class is shaping up really nicely early on.
Well, you also had the story on the front page today about Malachi Starks from over in Jefferson, about 20 minutes away. A guy, right? I think he's ranked number 69 in the nation for that class of 2020. Another bigger athlete. They've got it running at quarterback, and he's down to three teams, Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia. Everybody wants him, but you got to like where Georgia stands right now for Malachi Starks. Again, another class of 2022 with and then you have, Killebrew?
Yeah.
In that secondary already. That's just looking good.
Yeah, it's looking real nice. And I'll tell you this on Malachi Starks. I'd be willing to bet today that he finishes as a five-star in the Rivals rankings. I think that he's that talented of a player. He's that good of an athlete. Georgia likes him at that safety position. He's a great receiver too. Just another one. A lot of dangerous athletes in that 2020 class. That's what really stands out to me. If you look at a guy like Cedric Washington from Cedartown, yes, he's a tremendous bruising linebacker, but go watch the tape on that kid running the ball. He's a hell of a running back, too. So these are guys that can go either way. Georgia loves that versatility, and it looks like 22 is filled with guys like that for him.
He's not losing touch. Speaking of folks who haven't lost their touch, let's talk about our friends that's over at the Garage Door Repair Facility of Georgia. My favorite one, Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N. I was talking to some people the other day. They're like, oh, is that the overhead door coming by? I'm like, no. Don't go to those guys. Go to Aaron Overhead Door, A-A-R-O-N. And I know when you go, a lot of people do a Google search, and other companies have, you know, bought off Angie's List or whatever, or, you know, these home fix-a places, and so that they pop up first in your search history. But just look for Aaron, like Aaron Murray, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Just think A-A-R-O-N. A-Ron if you have to.
A-Ron.
Yeah, the A-Ron, think of Key and Peele. But Aaron overhead doors, because if you're in the North Georgia area, you are now in their service area because it's really expanded. Now they have pretty much all of Gwinnett County, Cobb County, DeKalb, Barrow, Habersham, Dawson, North Fulton, Hall, Walton, White, Forsyth, Jackson, Stevens, Oconee, Clark, Walton, Cherokee, basically a two-breath list. And I'm not even going through all the towns in those counties and such where they cover, you know, where their service area reaches out to. And they can do everything for you from installation to repair to programming your wireless opener, you know, or you got a keypad outside. If you just want something custom designed. Plus, remember, they also do commercial work. So it's not just residential. They do a lot of commercial stuff. And right now they're offering 10% off. Just let them know that you heard about them from UGASports.com and they'll take care of you. And if you also, you're not kind of looking for construction, need some work done, and you're not in North Georgia, let's say you're in Liberty County, you're in Long County, Bryan County, reach out to DR Construction Maintenance. That's our friend Ronnie Brown. I know Ronnie's right now, if anybody's pulling for Richard LeCount to come back, it's Ronnie Brown, because that's right out. He's down there in Liberty County. He knows the LeCount families. Everybody knows everybody down there. And if you speak to anybody in that area, they will tell you that DR Construction Maintenance is the top of the line. They do fantastic work. I've actually had some people say, yeah, I used Ronnie Brown. They did great. So I need to pass those along. But my point is, if you're in this area and you need any sort of construction or maintenance or remodeling done, reach out to Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. We're proud that they are a sponsor of our show. And we know that they are pulling like hell for Richard to glad he's going home. But if Richard needs anything done, these are the guys that will show up and take care of it. So,
shout out to Richard, man.
Catfish. So I'm just going to torture Coach Donna with the catfish.
It's all right. Well, let's let you get it. Let's let you dive into that. But before you do, wrapping things up here, cocktail party edition, mouthwatering players. Dane, we'll start with you. Roddy, we're coming to you next. I'll go. And then Coach Dane, lead us off, brother. Who you got?
I mentioned it earlier. I think Georgia needs a special weapon to get the passing game going, not just for this particular game, but really for the program as a whole. And to me, I think Darnell Washington is getting there. You saw the over-the-shoulder catch from Stetson Bennett against Kentucky. I just like the mismatch. So I'm going to say Darnell Washington, both with the catching, but also, man, his run blocking has been stellar this year. It's Darnell.
It cracked me up on the commentary when that guy said, yeah, they threw a jump ball to him. That boy didn't leave his feet. That wasn't not a jump ball. Not a jump ball when you throw to Darnell Washington. Roddy, who you got, buddy? Who's got to put it together for the Dogs to pull one out against the Gators?
I think you got to go Pierce Jackson. That's going to be my guy. I kept saying I'm going to say James Cook until he actually gets it. And let's give James Cook credit. I mean, against Alabama and against Kentucky, he's put up over 100 yards on each one of them in total yards. So he's really coming along like we thought. But I'm just thinking with I could definitely go with Cook. I could go with White, Zamir White. But I think you got to get that passing game going. I was going to say a tight end, but Dane took my guy, because if you remember last two games when Georgia needed to move the ball before the half, what did they do? They threw three straight times to the tight end and moved the ball, zipped it right up the field. They did it with Isaac Nauta 2 years ago, last year, Eli Wolf, bang, 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 they move up the field. I'm like, oh, look, that works. I don't know if they'll do it again this year, especially with a new offensive coordinator, but I'd like to see it. But to me, if you're going to get it, if Pickens is in the game, they're going to have to account for him. And I think you could see a situation where Kearse Jackson makes him pay, and not just catch the ball. I love him on those jet sweeps, those tosses and such, little shuttle passes. Get the ball to Kearse Jackson if you want to win this football game.
I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball since both you guys did offense. I'm going to lean toward a freshman making a big impact. I talked about Jordan Davis being a guy that's almost irreplaceable, high-round NFL draft pick. I'm going with Georgia's next interior defensive lineman that's going to be a high-round draft pick, and that's the kid out of Apopka. That Jalen Carter is ready to play in the Sunshine State, baby. He's ready to get in and make his presence felt. I think he'll fill in amply for Jordan Davis, and he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. Guarantee you he'll have some friends and family there in Jacksonville watching that one. So I think this is a big game for Jalen Carter. Coach, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with N'Kobe Dean. This is going to be a space game. I think he's going to have to make up for what the situation would be if all of a sudden Monty's down a little bit and Quay Walker's down. Nicobe's going to have a lights out game, double digit tackles, maybe knock a couple of passes down. We need him to have a balls out game, that's for sure.
He's a monster. He's been, I'll tell you what, he's been hitting some people in the mouth this year. So excited to see that one.
Yeah, it would be nice for him to have kind of that Roquan-esque compared to Roquan Smith. And what a lot of people don't remember about Roquan was when you needed him the most is when he showed up the most. He always played at a high level, but sometimes when these really big superstars, they get in a big game, you know, the guys against them are better and they just you don't hear that name called as much. But man, every time the lights came on the brightest, Roquan shined up the most. And I think if you've seen Nakobe Dean do that in this game, George stands a fantastic chance to slow it down that really good Gators offense. So I like that. I might have to steal that for later on when I do my prediction stuff. So thanks, Coach. Thanks for doing my job for me.
Hey, Coach, how do you slow down Kyle Pitts, especially with the injuries on defense? I think that a lot of fans wonder, what does Georgia do against that guy?
Well, you got to mix up your coverages, play some in and out with him from the standpoint of if he releases inside, one guy picks him up. If he goes outside, the other does. If he's in the slot, if he's on the weak side by himself, then you got to decide you're going to put a corner over there with him or a star on him. And then if you do, are you going to play a man or are you going to load up on him and jam him and play a safety behind him? So you got to mix that up. You know, he's not a real physical guy from a standpoint of, you know, like McKitty or somebody like we got, you know, that comes off the ball. He's not a blocking at the point of attack, it's not one of his things. So the other thing is you got to hit him. I mean, when we stand him up, when next guy's got to come in there and pound him legally, but, you know, knock him around some and just try to contain him and not let him run after the catch. I thought we did a great job on him last year.
Sounds like Mark Webb will have his plate full.
Mark Webb and Stevenson both. They both better step up and do it.
Yeah, this would you need Lewis Seen coming in setting the tone. That would be big if he's good to go. All right, is that it for questions, Jake?
Yeah, I think we're pretty well wrapped up. We touched on most of it.
All right, folks, be sure to tune in this Thursday at 1 o'clock to catch Around the League when Coach Donnan joins Dane Young and Brent Rollins to talk about all the other SEC games. It's a great show to watch. I usually, if I don't watch, I listen to it when I'm out walking. It catches me up on all the other stuff that's going on. They've been very eerily accurate on some of their predictions on how these games are going to go. I'm not saying if you're a betting person, you should pay attention, but if you don't want to lose money, you should pay attention to what they have to say. Plus, it's just a great, compendium piece to this to show, hey, here are the other games going on. And of course, they will touch on the Georgia Florida game because it is one of the premier games of the week. So be sure to tune into Around the League on Thursday at 1 o'clock. Be sure.
Oh, yeah. We're going to break down Mississippi State Vandy. Here we go.
There you go. 45 minutes on it. So.
That's a pillow fight of the week.
Yeah, and you see, they do not pull punches. So be sure to tune in that. Of course, check out the Watch Along show. I guess you guys will start about 3:25, 3:30 on Saturday. Be sure to watch it here on YouTube, and we'll share it to the Facebook so you can watch Coach Don and Brent and Dane break down the game live in real time. And be sure, if you would, to swing by Apple and rate this podcast. Well, rate it 5 stars. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we deserve 5 stars. We're tall enough. So give us a 5-star. So if you would, we'd really appreciate that. And we will talk to everyone next Tuesday.